Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, what children learn from pets. Psychology Today explains why we love cats and the many ways to include your pet in your wedding. So let's start with a piece from John Amadeo, PhD from Psychology Today. If you love cats, this might be why. He writes, if you're like me, you adore cats. Why do we find these creatures so irresistible? Perhaps like myself, you've owned a cat, or more likely, been owned by one. You know the joy that cats can bring, even when they're being obnoxious. What is it about cats that captures our hearts and enslaves us through their charm? What follows can also be applied to dogs, but I'm a cat person, so I'm focusing here on cats. These beautiful creatures have a rare quality that we humans would do well to cultivate, a large capacity to receive affection. When a lovely cat saunters our way, it's not easy to resist the impulse to stroke him or her, even when it's not so wise. On a recent trip to Thailand, I spotted an irresistible cat in a cafe. I foolishly felt safe to approach her with an offer of affection. When she rolled on her back, I took this to mean that my advances were welcomed. But shockingly, she abruptly changed her mind and scratched me before I had time to withdraw. Perhaps this was a cat with an ambivalent attachment style. As blood was flowing from my hand, the cafe owner offered a belated warning. I meant to tell you she's a feral cat and it's best to keep your distance. I replied, well, thanks for the warning, but she seemed so irresistible. Next time, I'll maintain better boundaries, but the incident made me wonder why some of us, or is it just me, will expose themselves to danger for the potential gratification of petting a darn cat. One reason we may love to stroke these adorable creatures is because the rhythmic action of stroking their velvety fur feels good. It focuses our attention, as happens in meditation, but I'm convinced that there's more to it than that. I believe that a major reason we love cats is because of an uncanny ability that few humans possess. They register their tactile presence in a deeply felt way. They really know how to let us in. They're right there in the delectable moment of receiving our touch. Delighting in our physical presence, they may begin to purr and perhaps roll on their backs, exposing their vulnerability, as if to say, I trust you, give me some love and make me feel good. Their gift to us is that they receive us deeply, without any troubling cognitions or disturbing memories of less savory moments, such as when we forgot to feed them or clean their litter box. They let go of all that. They're just there. They're just here with us right now. Perhaps you're blessed to have a partner who receives you in a deep way. What a gift to sense that your partner is really letting you in. But sadly, most of us humans have blocks to receiving deeply and freely. Perhaps past conflicts or traumas have muddied the waters. Or we've been taught that giving is nobler than receiving, and we believe that we're selfish if we receive uninhibitedly. Cats teach us that this ain't so. Most likely, we don't judge cats as being selfish. We relish how openly they let us in. Or perhaps we think they're selfish, but we don't mind. We humans could use more healthy narcissism in regard to receiving people more deeply. Research has shown that cats can be very healing for us. A 10-year research study suggests that cat owners are less likely to die of heart attacks than people who have never owned one. The latter group was 40% more likely to die from heart attacks and 30% more likely to die from cardiovascular disease. Other studies confirm that cats can lower our blood pressure and release dopamine and serotonin, which reduce stress and improve immune functioning. Cats can also help release oxytocin, which is associated with the feeling of being in love. As we know, love heals, and perhaps an important aspect of this healing is the bonding created by their ability to receive us deeply. I have fond memories of my now deceased cat slowly sauntering toward me and laying on my chest, purring. It's a precious feeling that puts us into a relaxed state, as expressed by Paul Zak, author of The Moral Molecule. This love bond may explain why people spend thousands of dollars to treat a pet medically rather than euthanize it and simply get a new animal. If you're fortunate to have an affectionate cat in your life, notice how he or she receives your affection. How do you feel inside when you're being deeply received? Similarly, when someone you like gives a hug or offers affection, experiment with letting it in. Be a cat. Get out of your head. Take a deep, easy breath and be mindfully present with how it feels in your body to receive a hug and affection from a loved one. Whether from a cat or a human, letting in love just might heal you. Next, springtime is a popular time for weddings. If you or a loved one is planning a wedding, maybe you've thought about including a beloved pet, aka member of the family, in your wedding plans. On MarthaStewartWeddings.com, Martha Stewart has some ideas for pets in your wedding. As you think about who will be with you on your wedding day, those who are closest to you are likely the first to come to mind. For many, that includes a family pet. There are lots of ways to involve furry or feathered friends in your celebration, whether in a formal role as ring bearers or flower dogs, for example, or simply as honored guests. First, determine your pet's role. If you're thinking of including a pet in your wedding, there are a few things to consider. Is it appropriate for the kind of ceremony you're having? An animal fits a certain type of affair, one at a farmhouse or a private estate, perhaps, but probably not at a fancy hotel, says Sasha Souza, a California event designer. If the venue does not allow pets, try to find a compromise. Michael Zorek and Shelley Friedland wanted their Beagle Whippet mix, Scooter, to participate in their wedding in New York City. But neither the temple in which they were marrying nor their reception site would allow pets, so the couple had Scooter meet them at the doors of the temple, escorted by a hired dog walker, then accompany them and their guests in a procession to the reception site 5 blocks away. Scooter wore a bow tie collar with a tuxedo bib for the jaunt. People got a big kick out of it, says Michael. We made the event the evening news. A type of animal you may also help the type of animal you have may also help dictate the role in the wedding. Some couples with smaller, less social pets, such as lizards, ferrets, or guinea pigs, are content simply to have the animal present at the wedding. They may ask someone to hold the pet during the ceremony or keep the animal nearby in its habitat or cage. Not all pets are suited to a wedding, and it's important to assess the temperament of yours. Is he friendly or aggressive? Does he make a lot of noise? Does he steal food? If your pet's disposition doesn't lend itself to this type of situation, don't try to train him in the weeks leading up to your wedding. Be flexible. Once you've decided how to include your pet, be prepared to be flexible on the wedding day. You can't force it, says Mark Marone, owner of Parrots of the World Pet Store in Rockville Center, New York. If you expect your pet to perform a certain feat, have a backup plan in case he doesn't do it. Also, consider your own personality. A relaxed attitude is crucial. During the outdoor ceremony of Sarah St. Ang and Andrew Howell in St. Helena, California, Sarah's dog Piper suddenly began barking. She saw a squirrel, says Andrew, but the barks were well-timed, adds Sarah. Piper punctuated the wedding vows and added an element of humor. And it's warm, lighthearted surprises like this that make a wedding memorable. Planning with a pet in mind. Inform your attendants. Well, in advance, inform attendants and vendors that your pet will play a role and discuss special measures you'd like them to take. Also, notify your officiant. Some may refuse to preside over a wedding that includes pets. Never leave your pet alone. Consider hiring a handler with whom the pet is already acquainted, or have a friend be responsible for the pet during the wedding. Anticipate potential hazards. Ask at the wedding site about pesticides or toxic plants on the grounds and about creatures that might distract or threaten your pet. If your florist is adorning your pet's collar, be sure she uses non-toxic materials and keep pets, especially dogs, someplace safe during the reception so guests won't feed them. Certain wedding fare, including chocolate, alcohol, and meat with bones, can be dangerous. Practice makes perfect. Bring your pet to the site before the wedding day and have him come to the rehearsal to practice his part if he will be participating in the ceremony. The other groom. Take the animal to the groomer before the wedding so he'll look his best. Keep adornments minimal and easy for the pet to wear. Don't make him wear them for longer than is necessary. And from thebridalguide.com, they provide more tips and information for what to consider before including your pet in the wedding. They say it's no surprise that many couples opt to include their pets in their weddings. Is there anything more adorable than a dog in a tux? A pet plays an important role in a couple's life. And for many pet parents, family festivities would not be complete without their pet's involvement, says John D. Arano, president of the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters, or NAPPS. As a result, it's becoming more common for couples to customize their wedding parties to include family, friends, and furry companions. But if you're looking to include your pet, there are a few precautions you need to take. We checked in with the NAPPS for some tips on how to keep your pet safe and happy during the wedding festivities. First, consider your pet's personality. A pet can be a guest of honor and simply stand with the wedding party during the ceremony, or your pet can have a specific role, like ring bearer or flower girl. Those are common roles for pets in the ceremony. But before giving your pet a starring role, think about whether this will be an enjoyable experience for him or her. Will your pet feel comfortable around your guests? Is he obedient and well-behaved? There's no guarantee that your pet will behave exactly how you want him to on the day of the wedding. Even the most outgoing and friendly pet can be overwhelmed by a crowd of guests, according to NAPPS. To make sure that your pet has enough time to develop a level of comfort around your guests, consider hiring a pet sitter who will act as your pet's guide. If your pet is especially skittish, consider having someone carry him or letting him ride in a wagon. And if he's overly affectionate or easily distracted, be sure to use a short leash. Confirm that pets are allowed in your ceremony facility. With everything else on your to-do list, it's easy to forget this simple yet important step. You don't want to show up on the day of your wedding four-legged ring bearer in tow only to be told that he needs to get off the property. Can't bring your pet? You can still include her in the wedding. Include your pet in your portraits after the ceremony or in your engagement photos. At the reception, include photos of your pet on your table number cards, or make your wedding favors in tribute to your beloved pooch. How about doggy bone-shaped cookies in a doggy bag? Adorable sugar cookie and dog treat wedding favors in a cellophane bag are accompanied by a tag that denotes a donation to your local humane society. By pairing a decorated bone-shaped sugar cookie with a handmade peanut butter dog treat, this favor will appeal to your peeps and your pooch. don't jeopardize safety for style. Planning on dressing your pooch in a tux? Make sure it fits properly and doesn't create any discomfort for your pet. Keep the accessories simple. A bow tie or flower attached to the collar is a fun way to deck out your pet. Ensure that any accessories won't come loose and pose a choking hazard to your pet. Be sure to check if any flowers or plants being used at your wedding are toxic to your pets. You can find a complete list at ASPCA.org under toxic and non-toxic plants. Inform your guests. Make sure you include on your wedding website that your pets will be part of the wedding festivities so any guests with allergies can plan accordingly. Notify your photographer. Prepare your photographer to capture your pet in action. It'll help your photographer prep for those unplanned moments, like when your dog leaps up to kiss you during the vows. Your photographer can also help you brainstorm fun photo ideas with your pets for after the ceremony. Book a pet sitter. You have enough to worry about on the day of your wedding. Hire a pet sitter to be responsible for bringing your pet to the ceremony, taking him home after, or watching him during the reception. That way you won't need to worry about who's feeding the dog or keeping him away from the chocolate or the wedding cake. Dogs aren't the only pets you can include. Love your horse? Ride into the ceremony on her or head over to the stables for the ceremony for some photos. You can bring your bunny for some pretty bridal portraits, or he can be carried down the aisle in place of flowers. And here's a fun trick for a pet owl. Train him to fly in with the rings tied to his leg. There are plenty of ways to include your family pet in your wedding festivities, and I'm sure you can think of several more. From Frank McAndrew of Knox College on the conversation and recently posted on lifewithdogs.tv, why losing a dog can be harder than losing a relative or friend. Mr. McAndrew writes, "Recently, my wife and I went through one of the more excruciating experiences of our lives, the euthanasia of our beloved dog, Murphy. I remember making eye contact with Murphy moments before she took her last breath. She flashed me a look that was endearing, an endearing blend of confusion and the reassurance that everyone was okay because we were both by her side. When people who have never had a dog see their dog-owning friends mourn the loss of a pet, they probably think it's all a bit of an overreaction. After all, it's just a dog. However, those who have loved a dog know the truth. Your own pet is never just a dog. Many times I've had friends guiltily confide to me that they grieved more over the loss of a dog than over the loss of friends or relatives. Research has confirmed that for most people, the loss of a dog is in almost every way comparable to the loss of a human loved one. Unfortunately, there's little in our cultural playbook, no grief rituals, no obituary in the local newspaper, no religious service to help us get through the loss of a pet, which can make us feel more than a bit embarrassed to show too much public grief over our dead dogs. Perhaps if people realize just how strong and intense the bond is between people and their dogs, such grief would become more widely accepted. This would greatly help dog owners to integrate the death into their lives and help them move forward. An interspecies bond like no other. What is it about dogs exactly that make human bonds so closely with them? For starters, dogs have had to adapt to living with humans over the past 10,000 years, and they've done it very well. They're the only animal to have evolved specifically to be our companions and friends. Anthropologist Brian Hare has developed the domestication hypothesis to explain how dogs morphed from their gray wolf ancestors into the socially skilled animals that we now interact with in very much the same way as we interact with other people. Perhaps one reason our relationships with dogs can be even more satisfying than our human relationships is that dogs provide us with such unconditional, uncritical positive feedback. As the old saying goes, may I become the kind of person that my dog thinks I already am. This is no accident. They have been selectively bred through generations to pay attention to people, and MRI scans show that dog brains respond to praise from their owners just as strongly as they do to food. And for some dogs, praise is even more effective incentive than food. Dogs recognize people and can learn to interpret human emotional states from facial expression alone. Scientific studies also indicate that dogs can understand human intentions, try to help their owners, and even avoid people who don't cooperate with their owners or treat them well. Not surprisingly, humans respond positively to such unrequited affection, assistance, and loyalty. Just looking at dogs can make people smile. Dog owners score higher on measures of well-being, and they are happier on average than people who own cats or no pets at all. Like a member of the family, our strong attachment to dogs was subtly revealed in a recent study of misnaming. Misnaming happens when you call someone by the wrong name, like when parents mistakenly call one of their kids by a sibling's name. It turns out that the name of the family dog also gets confused with human family members, indicating that the dog's name is being pulled from the same cognitive pool that contains other members of the family. Curiously, the same thing rarely happens with cat names. It's no wonder dog owners miss them so much when they're gone. Psychologist Julie Axelrod has pointed out that the loss of a dog is so painful because owners aren't just losing the pet. It could mean the loss of a source of unconditional love, a primary companion who provides security and comfort, and maybe even a protege that's been mentored like a child. The loss of a dog can also seriously disrupt an owner's daily routine more profoundly than the loss of most friends and relatives. For owners, their daily schedules, even their vacation plans, can revolve around the needs of their pets. Changes in lifestyle and routine are some of the primary sources of stress. According to a recent survey, many bereaved pet owners will even mistakenly interpret ambiguous sights and sounds as the movements, pants, and whimpers of the deceased pet. This is most likely to happen shortly after the death of the pet, especially among owners who had very high levels of attachment to their pets. While the death of a dog is horrible, dog owners have become so accustomed to the reassuring and non-judgmental presence of their canine companions that more often than not, they'll eventually get a new one. So, yes, I miss my dog, but I'm sure that I'll be putting myself through this ordeal again in the years to come. Next, what can our children learn from our pets? This was published in USA Today by Louis Villabos from the Arizona Republic. So what can our children learn from our pets, and how do our children influence our pets' lives? I, of course, can only draw from what I've seen in my house. Here is what I want the boy to get from having pets, and what I think is an inevitable rite of passage. Attachment to each other. This is the big one for me. My son came home after spending some time in the neonatal unit and was immediately greeted by the other boys, our dogs. We took our time introducing them all to each other and made sure to let the dogs know that this little bundle of chaos would be their new human to protect and respect. 4 years later, and they've created this unwritten rule book that includes our son being able to eat and play in relative peace while dogs scan for any chances of scraps falling to the floor. One of the hidden forms of attachment came through his speech development. Our son is autistic, and his speech has been delayed but progressing. Using the dogs as a launching pad for speech proved to be effective. So instead of getting him to say something like, let's go home, we tried, let's go see Ratchet and Clank. It worked like a charm. FYI, our dogs are named Ratchet and Clank. Yep, after the spectacular video game series. As he gets older, my hope is that he'll continue to bond with his dogs and grow into somebody who loves and seeks out that companionship. Teaching responsibility. We feed the dogs at about noon every day. That's tied to Ratchet's seizure meds. The boy was learning how to read the digital clock on the microwave, so we figured it would make sense to use that feeding as a tool. Sure enough, every day at noon, you would hear the boy say, time to feed the dogs, time to feed the dogs. Then he would run over to the kitchen table and squeal with delight as the dogs jumped around me and then tore through their food bowls. It's a small start to an overall lesson of responsibility. Walking the dogs, mixing the food, and helping to establish boundaries are all things that dealing with loss. I'm hoping we're still years away from this, but our pets are more than likely going to be the boy's first experience with death. Ratchet, to be honest, has cheated death at least 3 times. We found him on the side of the road soon after his birth. He was hypothermic. That violent chain of seizures could have easily ended him. The obstruction that was removed took him to the brink. So it's only a matter of time before Ratchet or Clank have to leave us. My wife and I will be broken by that. But how will that impact our son? The idea of death can be incredibly abstract to children. I still remember a young cousin asking if we were going to see our grandfather again as the casket was being lowered. Will my son be able to process that one of his pets has died? And how will we help him through that life lesson? Maybe this one is something our pets will teach us. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. And I would welcome your comments if you would like to call us. Please do so. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.